G'day leaders. Have you ever felt tired and not able to perform to your peak? In this podcast, both Michelle and I were exhausted, but we decided to do one anyway on the concept of riding the wave. So only trying to do the maximum when your energy is at the right level and giving yourself the opportunity to have a break when you're not, plus other things. Enjoy.
Why did it count backwards? I know that we're now recording.
What? Hello, Captain.
Oh, what I
come fly with me. Let's fly. Oh, my.
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. So, leadership, life, and everything else.
Yeah.
And we're barely alive.
No, I'm struggling.
I know. That's why I said let's record a quick podcast about riding the wave.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you didn't have the energy and I had a little bit more energy than you, but I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about something that I've only just started to apply to myself in maybe the last 5 or 6 years, and that is that when your energy's up, ride the wave.
Yeah.
Be productive. Do
yes.
stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
But when your energy is low, give yourself a bloody break.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said, let's go record a podcast about this. And he went, I'm too tired, guy. And I said, that's okay. I'll do all the work. And that reminded me of a concept that we've both heard Brené Brown speak about, how when in her partnership, when her energy is low.
Yes.
Yeah, her partner
picks up the slack. Yeah.
And you know, when his energy is low, she picks up the slack. And so it's not like you have to be equal all the time.
No, but also when they're both low, which happens, because we're not at our 100%, that they acknowledge it and go, let's get takeout, let's have 2-minute noodles, let's just chill on the lounge, let's, you know, and they actually acknowledge that they aren't low.
Yeah.
And I think, well, we're going away.
Yep.
And it's that whole thing of we've been flat out revving, productive, and now we're at that, we're just
the
about to go. We are,
precipice.
And it's like, oh, still got so much, we've still got a lot to do, but it's, struggling. Mm. So we've just had some water.
Yeah. But it's a concept I call ride the wave, ride your wave.
Mm.
Yeah. So for years, I was very driven, very goal driven, very push, always trying to get more out, you know, achieve, you know, all of that sort of stuff you do when you're young and stupid. but I've realized over the last, you know, I'm going to guess maybe 5 years or so, that I have peaks and troughs with regards to my energy, with regards to my mental creativity.
Yes.
And so a lot of the stuff that we do requires certain parts of your brain to be switched on.
Yep.
So artists call it their muse, when their muse arrives, and that's when they write or paint or create music or whatever it is. You know? And I've noticed that my creative energy, my logical energy, all of the different types of thinking that I have to use in different areas of work, etc., they come in waves, and I'm starting to become very conscious of those waves, and so that I'm not pushing myself, not trying to achieve things in low periods.
Yeah, I think I'm now thinking back to times when I've needed to potentially study, say for a sim or something, and I become the most prolific gourmet chef.
Oh,
my house is clean.
Yeah,
I do everything other than study.
Yeah,
and it's I'm not in the right frame of mind. Which potentially I could sometimes I wouldn't get in the right frame of mind. It was only when panic set in, oh my goodness, that deadline thing the urgency stepped up. Like, do it.
And that's contrary to one of the things I teach.
I know.
That a lot of people say, oh, I work better under pressure. No, you just simply work. It's the pressure that's making
it's
you
the
work.
Urgency.
You can't avoid it any longer.
No.
But you say you've got energy, but you haven't got the right sort of energy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct,
no, yeah. And that's about identifying that, hold on, I'm just not feeling it at the moment, so I'm going to give myself a break. Now, obviously in life you can't always choose when your waves are, you know, when to ride which wave. You've got to get out of bed and you've got to get the kids ready for school, or you've got to make dinner for the family, or you've got to do that report that the boss is screaming at you for. So you can't always choose. Well, I understand that this isn't a black and white thing, but it's about identifying that whatever role you have, whatever, you know, hobbies you have, you know, you're going to have peaks and troughs, and accept those peaks and troughs and ride them. Ride them when they're up and have a rest when they're down. So don't push yourself, because I used to get really hard on myself.
Yeah,
I used to beat myself up. Why, you know, why couldn't you be productive this week? Why couldn't you do that? And then that would get me into a bit of a spiral, and then my energy would go down and I'd still be kicking myself a week later. But now that I've come to terms with my peaks and troughs, I'm finding that when I am at my peak, I'm incredibly productive. And when I'm at my low, I just allow myself to, you know, teeter along, do with a bare minimum, do what's required. Nothing ever falls through the cracks. Like, I'm not ever going to let, you know, an area of my life suffer greatly because of it.
Mm.
But, yeah, I just like this concept. And it just came to mind when both of us were looking at each other this morning. I'm exhausted.
Yes. Well, this week I set a goal to a challenge to myself that I wanted to edit my book.
Yes.
And I think there are 68 stories in there at the moment that
chapters.
Chapters, yes. And I was feeling today a bit like, I didn't complete it. I did 25, which fell short of the 68. However, I've done 25, which is I now have to go. I've done 25, which is pretty good in a week. But I ran out of, I couldn't. No.
I call it talky juice when I can't talk and thinky juice when I can't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at the way that book has been written, it's been written on the peak of the waves and it had pauses on the lows.
Yeah. So. And actually the lows, they're sitting with it and just kind of observing life and not actually but producing gave me then started to fill me with creative juices and possibly a different way of thinking about it rather than how I was just, you know, churning through.
Do you know how Albert Einstein used that? So he knew that there was a certain wakeness state that his best creativity, best thinking would come from. And so, and I believe quite a few people, I've only ever heard about Albert doing this, my mate Albert, you know.
Al.
Yeah, how'd you know that? That's what I call it. Anyway, he used to have naps, right, in his office. He'd hold his keys in his hand.
Yeah.
He would lie down on his credenza. Is that a word, credenza?
No, yeah. Isn't that a sideboard, a credenza?
Yeah, okay. You know, what's a sofa?
Chaise lounge.
Like a chaise lounge. He would lie down on his couch, basically have his hand hanging over the edge of the couch over a saucepan. And so he'd start to go to sleep, but then as he fell into, you know, he's just about to fall into deep sleep, his hand would open, the keys would drop, they'd make a big sound, they'd wake him up. He'd then get up, and in that state, he came up with his best ideas. I hope it was Albert Einstein. That's what I read on the internet, and everything on the internet
true.
Is true. But, it's about you knowing your peaks and troughs and when do you perform at your peak. What do you need to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, like at the moment, I'm getting up early in the morning. The first thing I do is have a cold shower to wake myself up. If you haven't looked into cold showers, look into it. But that feeling afterwards, the dopamine rush when your liver is releasing the cold shock proteins apparently to fight off oxidative stress and I don't know what else it does, but my brain becomes extremely clear, and that's when I like to do stuff that requires my brain. Yeah, but the same sort of activities in the afternoon when I'm, you know, in my lull, in my down, that's just useless.
Yeah, I actually am now thinking about whenever I'm doing a painting and I become hyper-focused on the painting, sometimes it means meals mealtimes go, come and go.
But is that you just not knowing the time, or you're just so in the moment?
Yeah, possibly so in the moment. But I do get hyper-focused, and it's like I can't do anything else other than. Some mornings I have got up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock.
Wow.
Because I'm thinking about it, and I get up and I paint. So
it's cool. Just,
but yeah.
And your paintings are awesome.
Well, I don't do it very often now. So.
Oh, well.
So
your life
fine.
Has evolved, you know, international keynote speaker, TED talker, author. You've got a lot going on, Michelle, to fit in, you know, exhibiting artist. You used to be an exhibiting artist and have big what do you call it?
Exhibitions.
Exhibitions, that's the word.
Part of
it. So what we're talking about here is based on, so if it's a daily thing rather than maybe a weekly or monthly thing where you ride the wave of productivity. So if it's a daily thing, it's based on what's called your chronotype. Your chronotype is a concept I read about years ago where about 40% of the population are morning people.
Yep.
So their brain is at its peak in the morning. 30% of the population are at their peak in the middle of the day, and then you get your night owls. These are the people that can work late into the evenings, but you just wouldn't ask them questions in the morning.
Yeah.
They're not morning people. But I'm a morning person.
I am too.
Mm. So my brain's peak is definitely in the morning. And so what we teach in the productivity course is that you should always focus on the more difficult, challenging, brain-thinky tasks in the morning. So I always try and work on, any development work. So if I'm building training material, training resources, editing, you know, whatever it is, if it requires me to concentrate, I'll do that in the morning. But my afternoons are for admin, easy stuff. And so if you can start to think about when is your brain able to concentrate during the day, when are you at your peak, when can you really get into the zone, although research says nobody's getting into the zone anymore because of all these digital distractions. But if you can concentrate and you're in your peak in the morning, then focus on your more difficult, more challenging, or even the stuff that drives your creativity. Do that when you're at your peak rather than trying to, you know, slog it out when you're not.
Okay, I'm going to challenge this.
Go.
That's all fine and dandy in a perfect world.
There is
perfect,
no such thing as a perfect
right,
world.
That's
yes.
right, but in a perfect workplace where you can do that.
Mm.
So coming from shift work,
yeah.
as I have,
yeah.
it doesn't always work.
No.
And often there are high levels of brain juice required.
Yep.
As you can tell, I'm not at my peak right now because I can't think of the words. But that you've got to be on.
So what did you do? You're a pilot. You're flying internationally. You've got people behind you who you're responsible for. What do you do in those situations then?
Well, we were taught to, you know, your coffee naps. So that's the adenosine in your brain, which is like the filter, the cotton wool. If you have a coffee and then have a nap straight away,
yep.
Potentially when you're low workload, then 20 minutes is all you need. By that time, the adenosine will have dissipated and the caffeine gets straight, like has
Is that the process?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've heard about caffeine naps. I didn't know that was
so it's 20 naps. You have to really have to make sure
minutes.
It's only 20. Sorry, 20 minutes, not 20 naps.
Well, that's the active time of that's when caffeine wakes you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how we would manage that.
Okay.
Having rest. If you could, I generally couldn't because I was on the 737. We didn't have a crew rest area. It was you rest in your seat and there were rules around it, company rules around how long the flight had to be and all these sorts of things. So that didn't always work.
Of course.
Water, have lots of water to wake you up and then get to sleep when you could. But again, shift work, you know, you'd have 4 days on and we were speaking to some doctors the other night.
That's right.
And they have a similar experience. You know, you have, say, 4 days on. They had 7.
Yeah.
So in my shift, for example, if my roster would have 4 days on and it would be 3 earlies, so you are awake or getting up at, say, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and then the last day of your 4 day roster, it would be coming in for the red eye, like not the red eye, the curfew chase or something. So you'd be doing a late flight, which is when the last previous 3 days you've been in bed asleep. So
it'd be taxing on your body as a pilot.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about it from that perspective, how challenging it would be, you know, constantly battling your own biorhythms and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, doctors are the same. Yeah. Anyone.
I'm feeling very fortunate now. I go to work, talk on stage or run a workshop, and then I'm leaving still when my brain's, you know, peaking. So
absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have any tips for shift workers, unfortunately. I do remember in uni taking a job in a service station where I did the midnight shift. I did it once. I quit the next day. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay awake. I was on my feet sleeping. And I woke up, I'd hit my head against the display case behind me. Like there was no one coming. Hey, can I pay for petrol, please? Why are you sleeping? I couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it. My brain just wouldn't allow me. And I said to the guy the next day, like, he was a lovely man. He owned the petrol station. And he couldn't get anyone to do that shift. No one. And he was sick of doing it himself. And I said to him, mate, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep about 10 times. And he said, that's all. Okay, I can't find anyone. he went back to doing it himself. And I remember actually filling up there one night, and I walked in there and he looked at me, you don't want to do it again. Yeah, so I'm sorry to those listening who are on shift work. I do not have any answers for you, but that's a challenge.
So the productivity thing that we're talking about, I suppose, is the fact that we've been driving ourselves, going hard, riding that wave.
Yes.
The peak, and now coming off the other side, it's just one foot in front of the other, and then just acknowledging that, need a little bit of downtime to recuperate, recharge, and then come back again.
So we need to be kind to ourselves, kind to our partners, and talk to each other. So you check in with your partner, say, hey, where are you at today? And if they say, I'm at a 3, you say, all right, well, I'm going to pick up the slack. And if they say, well, I'm at a 9, oh, can you pick up the slack? I'm operating on a 2. Yeah, we've got to be kind to ourselves and kind to our partners and ride the wave when we've got it and accept and enjoy the lulls when you're in them.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe not Bollinger to pick yourself up, because they still haven't got in touch with us. No. And I don't think that's going to pick you back up. That's probably going to put you to sleep. But Lint might give you a short amount of energy. So we're kind of sponsoring these companies, and they don't even know about us. We're asking them to sponsor us. At least Bose is letting us hear each other while we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Car Wash Kid, thank you very much. More dogs. Ride the wave, Michelle.
That's it.
See ya.
Bye. Well, that was fun. You're such a clown.
The clown.
Lady Captain.
And who's going to listen to this? Maybe our mums.
Thanks, Mum.